Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the West Fresno Democratic Club's Blog Talk Radio Show. One of the things that we're going to talk about tonight is who is going to be the next chief of police of Fresno, California. And they're holding meetings about this. I think they've got three more meetings scheduled or four more meetings scheduled. The call-in number for tonight is 1-619-924-0872. Once again, that is 619-924-0872. Now, at the first meeting that I attended at Star Elementary School in Northwest Fresno, they had a survey of questions, and they had this four-question survey that's also online, by the way, in English, Spanish, and Hmong. So I'm going to read this to you. It says, welcome to the city of Fresno. Tell us what you want in your next police chief! Exclamation point. And the first question is, what are the challenges in the city that you would like the new police chief to address? That's the first question. What are the challenges in the city that you would like the first police chief to address? The second question is, what issues facing the city should the new police chief be aware of and understand? These are very broad questions, y'all. Number three, what qualities are most important to look for in the next police chief? And the fourth and last question is there anything else the city manager, whose name is Will McQuan, by the way, Q-U-A-N, should consider when selecting the next police chief? Now, there are some of us in the community who believe that they have already made their choice and they already know who the next police chief of Fresno, California will be. And I went to the second meeting. I wasn't able to stay, but I went to the second meeting that was held tonight at Sunnyside High School at Peach and Kings Canyon. And I was only there for a short amount of time. There were not very many people there. There was, I'd say, about 20 people, and it was more diverse than the people at Star Elementary. And so we'll see what happens at the next meeting. I think the next meeting that they're going to have is next week. I'm not sure of the date, but it's going to be at Gaston Middle School in Southwest Fresno. So let's look at this first question. What are the challenges in the city that you would like the new police chief to address? Well, one of the residents in Northwest Fresno was very adamant about the fact that, you know, Northwest Fresno has been misinterpreted, and many people think that they, you know, are very well-to-do there and, you know, they get better services and so on and so forth. And this woman went on and on and on and had some very distinct things to say about police service. She says, you call the police don't show up. You know, when they do get there, they don't seem sensitive to what's going on. And she said repeatedly that she had a drug house on her street and that she had gone toe-to-toe with Bulldog gang members. I don't know if this is true or not. I'm just repeating what I heard at the meeting. And then she went on to say that even though there might be murders taking place in Southwest and Southeast Fresno, that that should not necessarily be more important than property crimes that are happening in her neighborhood. And she also repeatedly said that, you know, her neighbors and she had to form posses, this is her words, not mine, to solve crime on their own or to, you know, monitor their neighborhood because the Fresno PD were not doing an adequate job. So she also made a comment that I had to admit, I agree with her that this was wrong, that somebody higher up on the food chain than just a, you know, beat officer told her, well, you know, if you're having so many problems, why don't you move? And that was the wrong thing for him to say. Even the city officials and the retired judge who was there, who presided over the first meeting, Robert Oliver, said, you know, that was a mistake. He should not have said that. Well, now she kind of understands how residents of Southeast and Southwest Fresno feel about police service. You know, folks, I really think, and don't get me wrong, if I have problems at my house, I'm calling the police, okay? I am just saying as an individual that it would behoove the next chief to have a greater cultural understanding and sensitivity. And I think that word sensitivity is overused, because you can be sensitive in a negative way. You could have your own stereotypes about the people that you're policing and not really get a good understanding of what they're going through in their day-to-day, workaday lives. And at the first meeting, I, you know, and people, they laughed at me, but I stand by what I said. I think the chief of police should live in some of the more challenged areas of the city and get a feel for what the people go through on a day-to-day, workaday basis. Because unless you get to know the people who live in those neighborhoods on a one-on-one basis, you're not going to understand what they're talking about. And this community-based policing that the Fresno's already supposed to have, obviously is not working. Because if it were working, things would be different. And I say to you folks, okay, if African-Americans are 3% of the population in Fresno, California, why do they make up such a large percent of the population of the jail? Why? I seriously doubt that that's all, you know, black people who are sitting in jail are just bad people, miscreants, and, you know, thugs and drug dealers. I just don't believe it. Proportionally, that is just not, it doesn't seem possible to me. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. 3% of the population, and you have over, you know, 30 or 40% of the jail population is black and brown. There's something wrong with those numbers. Something wrong. And it's something wrong with the policing that goes on to put those people in jail. So there's got to be a better way. And one of the people that I found, and I did not get the young lady's name, but she worked for Barrios Unidos, and she talked about very eloquently the need to disrupt the school-to-prison pipeline. And folks, we can go on and on and on about this, but I have to say she did a very good job of making that point. And part of my comment was, you know, that one of the jobs with one of the groups that I work with, Fresno Freedom School, I'm the chair of Fresno Freedom School right now, is that we work with young people when they're younger, before they get in trouble. Or if they have gotten in trouble, we work to make sure that they do not remain in trouble. And, you know, obviously the tactics that the law enforcement and the schools has taken on this regard is not working. And one of the things the young lady pointed out that I agree with is the use of resource officers. That's what they call them in Fresno Unified. They call them resource officers. What they really are is cops, police officers, law enforcement on campus in their uniforms with their guns walking around campus. Now, just think about this for a minute, folks. So you have armed police campus with children who may or may not have the cultural sensitivity to work with this population of students, who have a lot of say-so as to whether or not these children should be suspended or expelled. And hence, the start of the school-to-prison pipeline. One of the comments that I made is a known fact, that if you have a child who is expelled or suspended or gets kicked out and is sent to a continuation school, the likelihood of them actually attending that school and graduating is slim to none. So you have a situation where you have a child that is not educated out in the world doing what? How are they going to get a job? How are they going to better themselves? How are you going to prevent them from falling in with the wrong element? And I think that we need to think very closely about a comment that this woman made last night, this woman from Northwest Fresno. She said, well, when Jerry Dyer got rid of all the gangs in Southwest Fresno, she didn't mention Southeast. I'm just saying what she said. She said, when Jerry Dyer got rid of all the gangs in Southwest Fresno, they all moved north. And I have some in my neighborhood. Well, you know, that's the same thing people could say about the homeless. Once they started scattering them from downtown, they moved throughout the city and into Clovis. So this is what happens when you don't solve a problem, when you just exasperate it. So I say to everybody, you know, I'd love to hear what your opinion is about who should be the next chief of police in Fresno, California. So that call-in number, everybody, is 619-924-0872. 619-924-0872. I want to hear what you all have to say because do we need to get somebody who's already working in the department? Do we need to bring somebody from the outside? What are the challenges on both of those issues? Getting somebody who knows Fresno, getting somebody from outside Fresno and has to be schooled on the area. Now, at the Sunnyside, I wasn't at the Sunnyside meeting very long, but there were people there asking about the hiring process. The guy who's in charge of personnel for the city of Fresno stated the name of the firm that's in charge of the national search. And the firm's name is Terry Black and Associates. And apparently Terry Black is a she. And they have been given certain qualifications that they want in the chief of police, minimum qualifications. And this Terry Black and Associates is going to go out and search, scour the country for these people. Now, I read the qualifications online. And the first one was that the person has to have a bachelor's degree, I'm assuming in police science or public, you know, administration or something like that. So they have to have a bachelor's degree minimum. And they have to have 10-plus years experience with greater responsibilities over those 10 years. Now, remember, people, Fresno has 522,000-plus people in it. We have over 500,000 people. We have like 80 different ethnicities speaking 100 different languages, or it's vice versa. I always get those two numbers mixed up. But anyway, we got a lot of different people speaking a lot of different languages, and it would be good if our next chief of police was either bilingual or trilingual or multilingual, you know, and had some idea about the different cultures that live in this valley, whether it be European-American, African-American, Hmong-American, Sikh, Punjabi, you know, Russian, Armenian. We could go on and on and on. Fresno's got it all. We'd have to have somebody who understands urban living as well as rural living. You know, we need somebody who's going to be able to talk to the people and relate, and at the same time is a good leader internally. We need somebody fair-minded, somebody who is not a crook, somebody who is, you know, not having illicit relations with, you know, underage women or women who are not, they are not married to. I mean, we're talking about common sense things, folks, but I think it's important to say that because think about it. Jerry Dyer has been the chief of police for like 18 years. And before that, he was on the force, I think, you know, B-cop, detective, all that. And if we look very carefully at Jerry Dyer's resume that is not printed, we will see some things that might not be too savory, but he was allowed to keep his job. He was allowed to keep his job. So I say that to say this. What kind of city are we? What kind of city do we want to be? Do we want to be better? Do we want to be more progressive, or do we want to try to maintain this conservative mindset that has been steeped into Fresno culture and thus its politics? I think it's important with the upcoming 2020 presidential election and all the things that are happening down ballot to talk about these things and to get involved. You know, I live in the Tower District. I live in Esmeralda Soria's district, but I grew up in Southwest Fresno, 93706, and my mother still lives there. So my heart belongs to Southwest Fresno, and as the president of the West Fresno Democratic Club, it is part of my mission, part of my club's mission, part of my personal mission to get people involved and understand what it is to be a citizen. You know, Reverend Floyd Harris and I were on Michael Eisinger's show yesterday, The Struggle, and we were talking about the Poor People's Campaign and the work that we had done on that and the press conference that Reverend Harris held about a week ago in front of my mother's house to help solve a problem between the city of Fresno and a wayward tree that they own that was causing considerable financial hardship on my mom and I. And because of Reverend Harris's actions, we were able to get that press conference, get people calling City Hall, get things moving, and donations were made by Mr. Jack Bignino, who owns a tree service in Visalia, and an anonymous donor who paid for the replacement of the water main that was damaged by the city of Fresno's tree. Now, please understand me, people. City of Fresno only showed up to install the water main that was donated and to fill in the hole that was left by Mr. Jack's tree service for removal of the roots of that 60-plus-year-old tree. City of Fresno did very little, but the people were there and demanded something be done about this, and I'm sharing this with you because this is a success story, and I want the choosing of the police chief to be a success story, too, for the people in all parts of Fresno, not just southeast or southwest, for all of Fresno, because we're all going to have to live with this person. And they're going to have to live with us. And this is not an election like, you know, we vote in the mayor or we vote in our city council person. This person is going to be hired, but we're the ones that are going to be having to coexist with this person and any of its sworn officers. And I found out something at that first meeting. I was trying to take notes, but I got so stunned when I heard this number that I stopped, and some of this went over my head. African Americans make up 5.8% of the staff of Fresno Police Department. 5.8%. It just boggles the mind. And so I'm just going to leave that hanging out there. And if anybody has any comments they want to make about that, because there's even controversy about that. Just because a person is black does not mean that they are going to treat people with respect, in an African-American community. Once they put on that uniform, some would opine that they become somebody else. They're going to, ride that blue line and hang, with their brothers in blue. So if you all have an opinion about that, I'd love to hear it. Give us a call at 619 924-0872. But getting back to this chief of police, now I'm wondering if there's anybody out there who has an opinion about whether or not a female chief is what we need. You know, he has several women who are directly under him in the line of succession. Maybe they're going to throw their hats in the ring and apply to be chief of police. I wonder. I really wonder if that would be possible. Margaret Mims has been at the helm of Fresno County Sheriff's Department for a long time. Sheriff Mims and I do not share a great deal of political views. I do not agree with her handling and being so cozy with ICE. I definitely don't agree with her showing up at the border with 45, you know, and being cozy with him. But the great thing about America until the neo-Nazis come marching in is the fact that we can say whatever we want to, because that is, you know, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater, but you have a First Amendment right to have an opinion and to express that opinion without fear. And fear is one of the things that police usually strike in the hearts of people of color, people who are low income, because they just seem to not listen, you know. And I remember a meeting, pardon me, that I went to with another community member, Sister Maria Ells. We were at a meeting that was being held at Maxey Parks. And I will never forget this because I heard Chief Dyer make a comment that I'm still trying to process. That's how amazing it was. He said that Southwest Fresno was among some of the safest areas of Fresno, period. And he said that it was so safe because it had a lot of cameras in it. And this was ironic, folks, because there was a Latino mother there. This mother was sitting very close to Gloria Hernandez, who had a lot of questions to ask the chief of police at this meeting. But this Latino mother stood up and said, "I have been trying to get information about my son who was killed a half a block from where we're meeting, and nobody will talk to me." And Chief Dyer looked at her and said, "Well, that's incorrect because that case is still open, and you know we should be updating you on there." Folks, the woman just said, "Nobody will talk to me about what's happening with my son's case." Now, why would she lie about that? Why would she lie? Just tonight at Sunnyside, there was a Hmong gentleman there. I didn't get his name, but he was one of the facilitators. And he was talking about a case of a young lady. Some of you might remember this, who I believe she was assaulted and her body was thrown into a canal. And she was Hmong. She had had an argument with her folks and she stormed out of the house. It was after dark. And somebody assaulted her, murdered her, and threw her body in the canal. Well, neither one of her parents, and I've met her parents at various community meetings. I believe the young lady's name was Lucy. Lucy's parents did not speak English. And the facilitator tonight at Sunnyside said that Fresno PD pulled a Hmong-speaking officer from Fresno Yosemite Airport to come and speak to the parents. And the facilitator was very clear about this. He said, "Well, just think about the context of this, that, you know, this person who works at the airport, who is not a beat cop and not somebody who interacts with this type of violent, you know, assault, has to talk to these parents, you know." And the gentleman did say that there are several Hmong officers on, you know, on payroll with Fresno PD, but I guess they were not called in. I don't know. But this is part of the problem. You cannot have effective diversity in a police department like Fresno without having officers who speak the language of the people. Thus far, apparently, Fresno has done a really bad job of this. Now, I don't know. I cannot speak for the communities who speak Russian or strictly Hmong or Punjabi. I can't speak for them, but I can only imagine. I can only imagine that your child is missing and found dead, and you don't have a police officer who can tell you that in your own language. We have to do better. And one of the things that I want to say and that I feel personally, you know, just like with the federal government where the Defense Department gets a big chunk of the budget, it's the same for the city of Fresno. The police department gets a big chunk of the budget. And I say this, you know, people say, oh, well, we need more police on the street. No, we don't. We need better trained police on the street, and we need to make the money that they're already getting go more. Because when they get equipment and they get training from the Department of Defense, you know, how much are they paying for that? When they get a tank or well, I don't know if they get tanks, but if they're getting all this pseudo military equipment to be used, I mean, right there, that sends the wrong message. What would you need a tank for in the city of Fresno? What do you need to be using paramilitary tactics in an urban area? This is not Beirut. This is not some city in Iraq or Afghanistan. This is Fresno, California. So why do you need that kind of equipment? You know, I'm just asking as a citizen, which is that's my right to do, to find out where the money is going. And as I say, I'm like everybody else. If there's some rhubarb going on in my house, I'm calling the police. And I don't want them to be forever getting there to help me solve my problem, the reason that I called them. But I think because of the job they do and its importance in the community, that police need to be held to a higher standard of care than just Joe Schmo on the street. And I'm saying that because how many African-American men and women, boys and girls, have been killed because the police say, I was afraid for my life. If you have that kind of timidity, you do not need to be a police officer, period. You don't need to be a police officer, period. But you see, this is the narrative. They know the right words to say where they can commit these type of murders and not be held accountable for them. Like the man, Walter Scott, that was killed while he was running away and he was shot in the back and killed. Like the gentleman, Rolando Castillo, who was killed in front of his girlfriend and child, and the girlfriend screaming, don't kill him, don't shoot him, don't kill him. Whoever is chosen as the police chief in Fresno, California, I'm not saying that he's going to have big shoes to fill coming in behind Jerry Dyer. I don't want Jerry Dyer's shoes filled. I want a new pair of shoes. Okay? I'm just saying. This is my opinion only. And I would love for some of you to call in and dialogue with me about this. This is part of what it means to be a citizen. We have to exercise our power as people. Otherwise, democracy does not work. Participatory democracy means you got to participate. And there's a big movement growing in this country, folks, not just fighting voter suppression, because we know that happens all the time. There is a big movement where people who are in jail, Bernie Sanders was talking about this today, where people who are in jail can vote. Whether you're in jail or not does not mean you are not a citizen. This is what Bernie's saying now. And in the state where he's from, which I believe is Vermont and Maine are the only two states in the union right now, I believe. I could be wrong, but I believe they're the only two where you can vote while you're in jail, and your vote will be counted. I personally think that's pretty cool because, remember, to be part of being a citizen, paying taxes, you know, going to work, paying your FICA or whatever, is your ability to vote. People fought and died for many of us to be able to do that. Women couldn't vote till 1922. Well, hey, black women couldn't vote in many places until after 1964 with the Voting Rights Act. Think about it. And people will ask me, well, Eileen, why do you get so worked up about this? You know, why you care? You know why I care? Because this is my country. This is my city. This is my county. My parents came here right after World War II. I care about Fresno, and I especially care about Southwest Fresno. And you know what? As much as I bitch and moan and complain and wag my finger, I love Fresno. If I didn't love Fresno, I wouldn't care about how it's run, who runs it, or anything. Nobody's paying me to go to these meetings. Nobody's paying me to do this show. Nobody's paying me to be the president of the West Fresno Democratic Club. I do this because I care. And I am hoping and praying that when we, myself and some other folks in the community and Fresno Freedom School host the first Progressive Black Summit in October, that those of you who are black and who are progressive and who have some serious ideas about the way life can be improved in the Great Central Valley, I want y'all to come out on October 26th and 27th. Come out to New Light Church on that first day, because we are going to have an awesome speaker by the name of James Bell, and he's going to be talking about specifically disrupting this pipeline from our communities into prisons. And he's going to be sitting on the panel. This man is a juvenile law expert. An expert. So this is a very important discussion we're having if we're talking about disrupting the pipeline. And the chief of police, along with the district attorney and the district attorney staff, these are the people who decide getting arrested, who's going to court, what they're being charged with. You know, a lot of you who know me know that I attended law school for a year, 1 year and a half in San Francisco. And during that time, I had a chance to work in the Contra Costa County Public Defender's Office. That was my summer job, my first year. And then when I came back to Fresno a few years after that, I had a chance to work for the Fresno County Public Defenders, and I met a lot of dedicated, hardworking staff attorneys who were doing what they could with the resources they had. And believe me, folks, these people were overworked, underpaid, and underappreciated. I've heard it called a dump truck and all that. But the fact of the matter is, if it wasn't for the public defender, some of our citizens who are low income would not have any representation at all. None. And it is unfortunate. It's an unfortunate reality that justice costs so much in America when it should be free. Shouldn't be a matter of whether you have a great deal of money or not. It should be in a democracy that everybody is treated equally, but both you and I know that that is not the case. So that is something as citizens we need to work on ourselves. And things are not going to get better without a group participation. So I am asking everybody in the listening audience who lives in Fresno and lives in the Valley, you don't have to live in Southwest Fresno to be a member of the West Fresno Democratic Club. But I'm hoping if you get a chance, you want to be involved in politics, in the political process, I should say, you want to agitate for change, you want to just, you know, hey, come join the West Fresno Democratic Club. We meet the third Saturday of every month. Next month we'll be meeting at 1033 U Street, the local Democratic headquarters. It moved one door over from 1035 to 1033 U Street across from Home Depot in downtown Fresno. We will be there the third Saturday of next month from 9 to 11. We'll have coffee. We'll have a continental breakfast for you. And membership is only $15 a year. That is a bargain no matter where you go. $15 for an entire year of membership. We're going to have great speakers, I believe, next month. Eric Payne, who is an elected official with the State College District. He's a trustee, will be our speaker, our scheduled speaker. And so we're hoping that everybody can come out. And I appreciate all of you who are listening to the show. We don't have any callers, but I hope somebody's listening. You know, I hate to think I'm ranting all on my own. But people who know me know that I am passionate, when it comes to politics in general and local politics in particular, because, you know, there's a saying that all politics are local. And I think the longer that I'm alive, the more I believe this to be true. You know, it is not an accident that people like 45, people are calling them strong men, have taken over possession of high political offices around the world. You've got Duterte in the Philippines. You've got Erdogan in Turkey. You've got, I can't think of the guy's name in Brazil, who's being challenged right now by an upstart. You have all these people. You've got Putin in Russia. You've got Kim Jong-un in North Korea. So you have all these strong men around the world. And you have this growing wave of conservative viewpoints that look down on people of color. We're talking worldwide now. You have people who are using strong arm tactics in their own countries, and you see the erosion of human and civil rights in those countries, including this one. All we have to do is look at the debacle that's going on at our southern border. Immigrants have been coming to this country since before it began. And there are few people who can say, who are here now, who say that they weren't immigrants. Africans were not, hey, we were brought here, you know, and the Native Americans were born here. This is their country, and it was stolen from them. So let's get real when we talk about the history and the narrative of this country. And I think if people want to be patriotic, I think that's a word. Being a patriot is a word that's been hijacked by the neoconservatives, you know, those NRA, Proud Boy, KKK folks. A real patriot is going to fight for the values and the morals that benefit everybody, no matter their color, their religion, any of that. That is supposed to be what this country was built on, but history has shown us that even then, at the inception of America, America was schizophrenic. That she said one thing out of one side of her mouth, that all men are created equal, but then she had people who were enslaved chattel and were only 3/5 of a man. And I guess the women were like non-existent. I know that, you know, man is supposed to be man and woman, but you know what I'm going with. So from the very beginning, this country was schizophrenic. It was schizophrenic about human rights. It was schizophrenic about religious rights, because there was supposed to be a separation of churches. And now in the city of Fresno, the council chambers, there's a big, you know, sign that says, "In God we trust." Well, that's good. In God we trust. I trust God. It's everybody else I'm having problems with. You know, definitely most of our elected officials. And to put a cap on what I mean is this whole issue about homelessness. That is something else the new chief of police is going to have to deal with. And the way that they want to spend this money putting up signs. Now, you know, that anti-panhandling sign issue was defeated, or so community members thought. Lo and behold, it has been resurrected by Councilman Bredefield and Lee Brand. And the resurrection had to do with them wanting businesses now to pay for and put these signs in their windows. Well, I can tell you folks, there is a movement afoot. I didn't start it. I just happened to see it online, that people are saying if businesses put these signs in their window, they're going to boycott those businesses. Now, I don't know who's starting this. I'm just telling you what I saw. My opinion does not count as something like this. But I will tell you this. There are more liquor stores per capita in Fresno than you can shake a stick at. And apparently there was a survey that was taken at Sunnyside High School, and 900 students responded to that survey and said that they have bought alcohol in the vicinity of their high school. That is disturbing. 900 of them? Think about that. So the answer to these problems is not having a resource police officer on campus. The answer to this is not having more patrol officers on the street. The answer to this is us being involved, not just with our children, but with the schools and with the local businesses who are supposed to be checking IDs and looking at these children to see if they are of age to purchase alcohol, and making and enforcing those laws where our young people are not able to purchase alcohol or cigarettes. This is a problem in Fresno. So while this is happening and our children are damaging themselves, these liquor store owners and convenience store owners are making a lot of money off of us. Think about that. We have more liquor stores in Southwest Fresno. We don't have one dry cleaners there any longer, not one. Lemoore's that was close to Southwest on, I believe it's G Street, G in Fresno, closed down many years ago. We have no dry cleaners in Southwest Fresno, but we got plenty of liquor stores, plenty. So I've talked for almost an hour, and I just want to leave you with this. I'm going to close up shop a little bit early. But those of you who have listened to me, I hope you have thought about some of the things that I've said. I hope that you can go to this next police chief choosing meeting. They say that they want to have input. There are many of you who figure, you know, it's not going to make a difference, and I don't know if it will or not. I go to these things to bear witness to the process. That's why I go. I go because that is part of my personal charge to myself as a citizen. And if they don't do the things that we ask them, we can get out and exercise our power as citizens, as people. We pay their salary, everybody. Remember that. We pay their salary. So we do have power. We should not just give it away by not showing up. If I'm able and my sciatica is under control, I'm going to show up as much as I can. And I'm asking, I don't want to beg, but I am asking you, pleading with you, that you show up too. So next month, third Saturday of every month, West Fresno Democratic Club meets from next month on, in the foreseeable future, will be at 1033 U Street, downtown Fresno, across from Office Depot and the Starbucks right there. Come and join. It's only $15 per year. And get involved. Pick a subject that's important to you. We have a lot of important things that are coming up. District 2 special election is coming up, and not everybody who's African-American and members of this club live in Southwest Fresno. So District 2's special election is coming up. Phil Arbio, a known Democrat, and it seems like a very nice guy, is running for that seat. And Phil, I wish you the best of luck. Not to mention the fact that we have former Vice President Joe Biden, who just threw his hat in the ring for president in 2020. So we have a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to decide as citizens, and I want to get you fired up. When you join, when you join the club, you will get a free, say it, free copy of the U.S. Constitution as part of our public political education effort. And we are doing a year-long membership drive and voter registration drive. So if you are not registered to vote, don't let that stop you. You can come, and we have registration forms right there for you to fill out. So please come and join West Fresno Democratic Club. So I'm going to close up. I hope all of you have a wonderful evening and a joyful weekend coming up. And as my brothers and sisters and aunts and cousins used to say, stay black till we get back to you. All right, y'all. Have a wonderful evening, and we're out.